15 years we've been doing this now. It's incredible, actually, how we all started. I think we started with Trevor in 2010, if you recall, when I convened the first Brand Africa Forum in South Africa, just after the World Cup. What do we want to do? We wanted to take stock of where we are as a continent, to be able to see the brands that people are coming to the continent, because people are coming to the continent. Remember, 300,000 we were promised are coming to South Africa for the World Cup. And with the question was, what are they going to be consuming? Are they going to be eating what they brought in? Are they going to be wearing what they brought in? Are they going to be sleeping with the beds they brought in? And that's a challenge in terms of that we face ourselves. So a little bit of where we started in 2011. 2010, we only had 10 countries. And at that stage, it was an omnibus, if you will, in research, just an omnibus asking three questions. But it's grown up now, as you can see, all the way to 31 countries, are where we are now. We've looked at nations, we've looked at leadership, and this past year, the 15th year, we held it at the AU, in African Union at the Africa Hall. And the Africa Hall is the place where 32 African presidents got together in 1963 to decide on the African or to craft the African agenda. So we wanted to do it there because it was also for us to measure where we are, but also it was a spiritual home to be in at that time. And that's where we launched the global results. And we want to make it like an annual, our destination now for us to launch, to announce the main results as we move around the continent. And what makes us different from everything else is, one is Pan-African study. 31 countries collectively account for 85% of the world, of the Africa's population and GDP. Second, they are research based. So we didn't want to sit in a little smoky room and decide who's the best brand and all those, who pays us the most money, and all those. And finally, they're all neutral. No brand pays. Because we didn't want to be you the best because you make money. You're the best because you are paying money. We don't do that. So, the process is also quite, interesting. The process starts with field work, and the field work is, it's face to face. It is mobile. Telephonic. And when we do that, you can imagine the volume of brands across the continent that we collect in 31 countries. And we now we settled with all that information. We put it all into a filter, trying to separate these things, trying to understand the names. Because you know sometimes people say Standard Bank, Stanbic, Stan. So are they talking about Standard Chartered? Are they talking about Standard Bank? Are they talking about, they just say Standard. So we now have to consolidate all that into Standard Bank. Or they'll say iMac, MacBook, iPhone, iMac, consolidated into Apple. So, or even you probably ask me the question later, but people say, DSTV, GoTV, MultiChoice, Nigeria's MultiChoice, other countries is Ghana, GoTV, South Africa's DSTV, consolidated all under DSTV. Because when you move around and you look around the houses, you see the DSTV dish. So we consolidate all that under. So that's what we do with that. And then we have to do something else. Nigeria, he'll tell you, Ike, right? There's 300 million of them. It depends on the hour. But the Nigerian populations, as they go with the hour, the poor Botswanas in, with their 1.5 million, they can't stand a chance. Cause if Nigeria puts in the brands in Botswana, there's no competition. So you do what we call weighted average. So we did average to be able to make the data comparable across our countries. And that's what we do, to be able to move around. And then we validate the information. And we say, are you sure this exists? Are you sure this is not the one from London? Are you sure this is not, this is African? So we do that. Then we come up with the rankings, the top 100 for every country, and then the top 100 for the continent, and then reduce it. So now you'll be amazed. I think the slide is coming. So who do we do this with? We do it multiple partners. The major partner is Geopol, because we don't do it ourselves. Geopol is one of the biggest research companies, mobile. We do the Kantar. Kantar is the biggest research company in the world. So between the two of them, they own the world in terms of research. And we wanted somebody that has got the same methodology, ability to be able to compare across. But then, of course, you then have differentiation. North Africa, we use Gopinion. In Algeria, we also use Integrator Kantar. Then Southern Africa, we use Analysis in Mauritius. And then we used oxygen in Namibia to amplify the results, to be able to get to the results. So that's how we get to the results, before we then reduce them into, to analyze them with Kantar and then come up with the rankings. So what do we cover? The collective data. Over 85, the 31 countries account for about 85% of the continent's population and 85% of the GDP. So you always say to people at the end of the day, like, you know, the continent is really, in truth, 10 countries run the economy of the continent. And then everything else is just adding two people, $3, one car, two legs, one vegetable. When you make it together, it makes it the 85%. And so that's how we end up at the numbers. I mean, Equatorial Guinea is like 1 million, Botswana 1.5 million, Namibia 2.5 million. Then you come to the other big countries, Algeria, DRC, Egypt, and all those are the big countries. So if you add up all those big, all these countries, that's what they account for. But what's also interesting is that we get, out of this entire study, we get 150,000 brands, over 150,000. So now we have to reduce all these 150,000 to try, like I said, to sort them out. And what do we get? 5,930 unique brands. It's like, oh, it's only 5,930 out of the entire continent, of unique brands. Shows you, so we asked them seven questions. The first question, what's your most admired brand? Because, I mean, for some of you may want to know, I'm always asked the question, how do you determine that? We ask some questions. What is your most admired brand? Any. We don't put into their heads which one. Then we realized over the years that it's important to bring in, to single out financial services and media, because people don't care about them. They are sort of the necessary evils, if you will. They're like, oh, it's not a brand. I just have no choice. You know, if I could, I'd avoid a bank and avoid talking to media. Sorry, blessing. So we then asked the two questions. What's your most admired media brand? What's your most admired, financial services brand? What we then did over and above that, we said, but you know, this is crazy. We are not seeing African brands coming up out of the list. So now we ask the question, what is your most admired African brand? I was speaking to you guys this morning in Dangote, actually, out of interest, because Dangote's always been the dominant, Dangote and MTN are the dominant African brands. No question. Yeah. So we asked the question now, because now we want, when you said, what is your most admired African brand? Oh, they're like, oh, you mean Dangote, you mean MTN, oh, you mean Standard Bank. So now now their minds are fine-tuned. But if you don't mention that to us Africans, we think brands are only what comes from out of what come in a ship, and an aeroplane into our countries. Because that's how we see ourselves. Then we ask more questions. Then we said, then we realized that as time goes now, we have to be responsive to environment and all those. So when I start asking the questions, what is the one brand that is good for the environment and society? So then we added another question. Last two questions, this couple of years, what is the one brand that contributes to a better Africa? Because now we're asking that. Now we want to know now which brand is really doing the most for us. And you know, I had a one-on-one with the CEO of MTN and the CEO of Standard. It's interesting actually. Like in one setting, the CEO of MTN and CEO of Standard Bank, the two of them collectively, I don't know how much, 200 million, and the capital, the asset value of the two companies is $200 million. I was just astounded. So, you know, they asked me to facilitate a conversation between the two of them. And when I was looking at them, and I was like, these are the two brands that are driving the continent. And I asked them the question, do you feel you have a responsibility to contribute to the continent? They said, yes, that's our mission. Because when the continent thrives, we thrive. So that's why we asked the question, which brand is contributing to a better Africa? And we then also asked the question, which country, they added there as well last year. Now, which country is contributing to a better Africa? Because it's not just the brands. Now it's the countries as well. Because, you know, we all have our opinions. Some people say, you know, this country, we must close, things will be fine. Apologies. So here's some highlights across the continent, then I'll come to Zimbabwe specifically. I'm not standing here, so I can. So here's the crazy thing. Only 11% of the brands that Africans admire are made in Africa. So let it sink. Only 11% of the brands that Africans admire are made in Africa. Africans reject anything made in Africa. If it's made in Africa, Africans are going, ah, there's one, hey, you can't trust it. Hey, this is Hong Kong. You know. And most of them come from Europe, 40%, 28% from America. You even know the brands, I'm sure, without even me telling you. You know that, talk about Adidas, Europe, they dominate. Nike, they dominate. Samsung, Asia, they dominate. Africa is the only one where MTN dominates. Leaving it there. So we then this year we did something else because now we've got BRICS and all those things. So when we got BRICS, we got G20 and all those. We wanted to say, we want to understand of these formations, where do most of our brands come from? 81% come from G20 countries, but G20 countries is only one country from Africa, South Africa. So 81, so you can almost tell all the brands come from Europe, so still come from everywhere else but from Africa. As we already know, 11% come from Africa and 20% come from BRICS. We wanted this comparison because we wanted to see whether, because now we're all jostling for friendships these days. We're looking for friends in new places. Now the question is, if you're going BRICS, do you have cover there? They'll be like, Africans and I, we ain't going there. We're not getting anything here from BRIC countries. We're still stuck in our G20 countries. So you can see the challenges we are facing as a continent. We then did something else. Then we tried to understand which is the most influential countries in Africa. We're like, if we just go by brands, it's the US, it is China, it is the UK. If you just go by the number of brands, we already know them. You can look around the room now, you'll find all those brands. But then we said, but no, let's add FDI because influence is also the money that are put into the country to see how to influence the direction, soft power and all those, but also just investment in the country. And then the numbers stay the same. But then he says, but that's not a fair comparison. Let us do a weighted average of the GDP. So because we need to be able to compare the countries properly. Based on what they are putting into the country. And then things change. Now you can see the Brits are still in charge of Africa. The Brits are still the most dominant country in Africa, followed by France. But we actually know this because that's why there's a 92-year-old president. None of my business. No, and Finland, you know. And that's why some of us here still have those little phones. Which we use for the small houses, where they, the ones that never go down, the Nokia, because it's just how we are. So then we ask the question, which is the most, so we look at the top 10 countries contributing to a better Africa, South Africa number one. But we know why. From commercially, the most industrialized nation. But remember, this is the study of this past year. What happened this past year? There were bombs flying all over countries, and South Africa was speaking the loudest. So, and some Africans will say, yeah, I want to say that, but I don't want to go to jail. So I'll say, you go ahead, South Africa. You be my hero. So that lifts South Africa's a reputation, if you will. But also from a culture, I'm a piano and all those, do well. Of course, Nigeria will always be that close to South Africa because they're the loudest country in the continent. They are culturally very strong, like South Africa, very strong identity as a country, and they're at peace with it. So these two countries are the, and they're always jostling for who runs the continent, between the two of them. So the results must make sense as well for you, by the way, when you look at them. If you don't agree, you must stop me and say, no, that's bullshit, what you just said there. And we know America is always going to be there. And I don't know how long, but it's going to be there. It's there now. Actually, it's gonna be there because America said to as OBJ Obasanjo once said, he says, "You see, Trump is showing you that we are all the same." And then you've got China. Do you know? I don't know how many years ago, maybe 15 or so many years ago, it was split between America and China as to who owns Africa. China owns Africa. China owns Africa. And there was a time actually where there was a time where America was present in most of Africa militarily and China through infrastructure. But now China runs Africa. So the question is Africa running Africa? And that's a problem that we are facing of ourselves. You can see Morocco, you can see Egypt, Kenya. So the countries will expect, I apologize, Zimbabwe hasn't made it. You know, sometimes I need to be creative and just put in the flag. just for the gram, right? And then we look at the most admired brands. We ask now the African brands that are contributing to a better Africa. I think MTN connected the continent. There's no question about it. 17 countries, 300 million subscribers, the ninth biggest in the world. It was announced last week. The ninth biggest mobile company in the world. That gives you an idea how powerful that brand is. Dangote, you can't touch Dangote. The most industrial, I mean, it's the industrial brand from Africa, founded by an African. So the others, and then you've got regional powers, you know, the Azams, you can see them. They're doing very well, Azams. Then of course the DSTVs and Jumia. And by the way, someone who says, yeah, but Jumia is no longer as strong as it used to be. It's still strong in people's hearts and heads. That's how brands work. They work in people's hands. And then now the international brand contributing to a better Africa, Coke. Everything goes better with Coca-Cola, especially if you can burp. Then you know it's a real thing. Right. So you can see, all the brands. And you know these brands, by the way. Unilever, you go to your house, it's Unilever. Toyota, if you want to go from Yanga to Harare, you need a Toyota. Adidas, if you want to win in the sports field in football, you wear Adidas and Nike. And you can look at them all across board. So, and then the top 10, now overall, the number one brands in the continent, Nike for the eighth year in a row. I don't understand. Eighth year in a row is uncontested. It's just an entrenched brand in terms of being culturally relevant, cutting edge, design, and all those. And of course, it also fights for the athletes. So it also fights for the consumer. And then you can look at the rest of them that you know. MTN is the only one in the top 10. In the continent. Now I was surprised about this. We asked them, now we look at the studies we look at the Gen Zs. Are you Gen Z?
Hi.
You're just outside. Just ask yourself. So, you know, look at the Gen Zs. The Gen Zs say, me, I'm not, they say Nike. Even the millennials, you, Nike. Now the older people, they're at peace with one thing. They say, me, I want a brand that can turn on the light. There can be aircon. There can be a fridge. I don't want to think. So Samsung does it for me. Whereas these ones are saying, it must be cutting edge. It must do things. It must be hip. I must be able to be proud to be seen with it. So you can see the reflections actually on that, right? And then when you come to the categories, technology. Number one, luxury, 12%. I know 3/4 of them are fake. It's really none of my business. And I don't want to embarrass anybody here by saying, let's check the labels. But it is how we feel that is my Louis Vuitton. It is my Gucci. Where I got it is got nothing to do with you, but that's how we are, right? And then the auto vehicles. So let's talk about Zimbabwe. And I stand here for Zimbabwe. Let's look at Zimbabweans. 64% of Zimbabweans believe in Africa, but only 46% by African. So you can see the beginning of the results. 64%. Yeah, Africa. When you say show us the money, they're like, do you mind if we talk later about this one? You see, that's your first challenge here in Zimbabwe. It's the same as, by the way, it's an African problem. It's not a Zimbabwean problem. I'm just focusing on Zimbabwe now. It's a Zimbabwean. But when you look at the top 100 brands here, 56% of them, 54% are non-African and 46% of them are African. If you look at just the top 100 now of the brands in Zimbabwe. And if you look at then Zimbabwean versus non-Zimbabwean brands, 31% are Zimbabweans. And then the rest are non-Zimbabweans. So that South Africa and other countries contribute to that. But if you want to stop me at any moment, just let me know. But you can see where the numbers are. At least you are very African. If you look at the spread, because remember the continent is 11%. You are at least 46%. So I think that speaks well. It speaks that there's a stronger sense of responsibility towards the country.
Or
you have no choices. Yes, because Africa is right here. I think so as well. That's actually one of the big reasons. Then, of course, you can see the spread as well there. Same thing, 46, that's what we talked about. BRIC countries make sense. Some other countries, you know, getting products from, and that's what that is. So let's talk about the different categories. Most admired beverages. So there were multiple. So you'll see there's also multiple one-on-one brands in categories here. There's very few categories where you've got multiple, competitors. Alcohol, most admired alcoholic brand, Castle, Amarula. Delta Corporation. So what happens, by the way, out of interest as well, is people either mention the product or the company that makes a basket of products out of a category. So when they come to the most admired apparel, Levi's, Timberland, which is just a general, Bata. Do you know, I only see Bata here. Do I see it anywhere else in the continent? I think it's dominant here.
Is it still there?
Bata!
I'm sorry.
Even when I came through now, I saw Bata. Bata is dominant here. It is one of the most dominant brands.
Wow.
It's a very dominant. I don't know why it's so resilient here. And where is it from? India?
Yeah. Canada.
Canada, India, Swiss.
Yeah.
Even they don't wear it. They left it with us. Oh. Nissan, Honda. Toyota, you can't touch Toyota. You just can't touch Toyota. Everything keeps going right. I think they understand that. You know, I think it's like Coca-Cola, first move advantage. They were here and then they stayed throughout everything else. Consumer brands, Bakers, Lobels, Pro Brands. I'm really proud of Pro Brands. I mean, it's a Zimbabwean brand that I absolutely admire in terms of how they've been able to build local brands. Because that's what we need more of. We need our own. I think Pro Brand is more like Azam in Tanzania and forget the one in Zambia. So we need to do more of that. Non-Zimbabwean, Nestle, Cadbury, Unilever. We know that. And then electronics, we don't do that. You know, we don't mess around there. We're not going to be putting up things that are going to be exploding in the middle of a day. So please, let's just leave us with our Samsungs. Samsung is a strong brand. Very strong brand. Very, very strong brand. Apple, Samsung, Itel. I don't see Itel. Where is it? I've never seen it. It's there.
What does Itel say?
Oh, it's phone. It's China as well, right? It's China, India. Is there? Trevor, you're not a target market. or you don't get around much. So then there's categories like energy where there are not many brands, local brands. There's only one local brand, Zuva. I love Zuva. When I saw it, my friend's son's name is Zuva. And I like that we can name our brands our names. Because sometimes, you know, we're too embarrassed to call things our names. Let me tell you a quick, I'll tell you a quick aside, about names. So I'm Catholic. I was born and raised Catholic. My uncle died last week and I went to go bury him last week. So on the way to Kimberley, where I'm from, then they said to me, you must first go to the church to go get his baptisms. So I go to my church. They say, your uncle was not baptized here. I'm like, ah, what do you mean? Now we're all here. They said, this church was only 1961. Your uncle is 52. So I went to 50. So they said, go to the other church. So I went to the other church. I go there and they open up the book. The Catholics are amazing. How many Catholics in this room? Catholics are amazing. Wait until you find out. Because I was born and raised Catholic, went to Catholic schools my whole life. So they open up the book. They still have the books from those years. And each book has got a replica of the baptism certificate. I was just astounded. So I found one for my uncle. They go by year and by alphabet. And they say, here it is. Take a picture or photocopy. So we did that because I needed that. I found out the most craziest thing, which now makes us worry. Trevor, we're going to have to change your name after what I'm going to tell you right now. So, you know, when you get baptized in Catholic, they give you a name. So, and they call them Christian names. Yeah. What do you think they called us those years? I was shocked as hell. I'm not saying rumors. It's written there. I've got the certificate. It says heathen. So I'm like, oof, I'm among heathens. See, how many heathens in this room? There you go. So it's crazy, but our names are important. And that's what I try to deal with in this book as well, about the importance of our names, because part of us accepting our brands is accepting who we are and all that. So Zuva. And then non-Zimbabwean. Oh, here there. Yeah, here there. Non-Zimbabweans, engine Total Vivo. And are you
Zuva?
No, Zuva. So Zuva didn't make the overall list of the energy, but it's the only Zimbabwean one.
Ah,
so we looked at it as a Zimbabwean.
Oh.
S is the story with Mazoi, which again, the problem with Africans, whenever we do something great, we take the first check and run. So Mazoi is a great Zimbabwean brand from the Mazoi Valley. What did the Zimbabweans do? Sell it to Schweppes. DSTV, great South African brand. What did the South Africans do? Sell it to the French. It's now Canal Plus. We do that very well. Whereas the rest of the world, they build capacity. They use that brands to build and build and build and create and buy other brands. We sold SAB, we sold DSTV, we sold Mazoi. We keep selling. We sold Safaricom. We just keep selling instead of building onto them. But when on the top three non Zimbabweans, Coke, can't touch Coke. Just can't touch it. Personal care, Iduka, Nivea, Avon. Avon has done well as well. It's done well, Avon, in the continent. I don't know why. Telecommunications, Starlink, NetOne. Starlink is crazy how fast it's growing. I mean, on next week, they're launching in Zambia. They're launching Botswana. They're launching, I know because the people who are launching, I know them very well. They're launching everywhere else. Of course, the number one telecom brand is Econet. You cannot touch Econet. Econet is like M-Pesa Safaricom in Kenya. They run this economy. If we switch off Econet, Zimbabwe could close down. We all go on holiday somewhere. We're going to go on holiday without Econet. It's the same thing in Kenya. Kenya, I think 75% of the economy runs through M-Pesa. They use M-Pesa for everything. It's the same. I mean, it shows the strength. I don't know if it's a strength or the risk or whatever. It's a combination of a strong brand. And Econet is that brand to me. I love, I think what Strive has managed to do there is incredible, over the years. Also the brand has been with you for so long. It's grown with you. It's been gone through your ups and downs. That's why I think people trust it, as well. Matter of fact, I think when TN, I saw TN, well, didn't TN have a telecom brand at the same time as Econet starting out? It didn't? I thought it did. Food, there you go. I stopped at Chicken Inn yesterday because I always never stop at Chicken Inn. Yesterday, we stopped at Chicken Inn, me and Chido. Where's Chido? Chido and I, there we go. Chido and I stopped at Chicken Inn and we loaded up on Chicken Inn. We had no time for your dinner. We were fine. We don't do our trout bag dinners. We were full of Chicken Inn. Took pictures. I was posting it about it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. There's another chicken something. There's another chicken something in the Republic or something, but they didn't make it. Then the non thing is KFC, McDonald's, Pizza Hut. Then media, Star, radio. Don't fight with me. I don't run this country. But what? But people always say to me, how do these national broadcasters go top of the list? Very simple. They reach the ordinary person. They speak to them in radio. They speak to them in TV. You just worry that you are paying a subscription to DSTV. Not everybody can afford the subscription. You're talking to 10% of the country. 90% of the country, they rely on this, on the ZBC. They want to hear who's dead. They want to hear when they need to vote again. They need to know all those things, all those important announcements. Everybody in South Africa, SABC, Lesotho, you know, every country, more often than not, the national broadcaster is the number one media brand because it speaks to the ordinary person. Unless you're like Nigeria where there's nothing national, then you have to watch. What is the big brand again? What's the big TV, the TV? NCA. No, but nobody watches that. nobody watches that. And then, of course, the non-Zimbabweans, Star Life. I've never heard of Star Life. DSTV. What's it? It's Indians. They like the Chinese. They're everywhere. The difference between them and us is they are adaptable. We're very snobs. We're snobs. We're like, I can't do that. They like, is there money in there? That's how they operate. Banking. I love ZB. I've always thought, one of the beautiful brands in Zimbabwe. Cabs and then CBZ. CBZ is also a very strong brand. Is it a surprise?
No.
Yeah. Then, of course, Stanbic. The number one brand in Africa, number one brand, non-African brand here. Insurance, Zimnat, Doves. Is Doves or funerals?
Yeah.
Shh, no business like funeral. Trust me, I had a funeral last week. I had to do a checklist. I'm like, what do you mean? This person is going. Why are we putting so much money down the drain? Nyarazo Group. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because it's the most personal of services, most personal of services. And then non-Zimbabwean or mutual?
Yeah.
It's a yes for you?
Yeah.
Now, which country contributes to a better Africa as far as Zimbabweans are concerned?
Zimbabwe.
I don't know. Let's find out. Zimbabweans don't believe in Zimbabwe. What's wrong with Zimbabweans? You know, there's so 68%, I think, of the countries believe African countries contribute. Others don't believe in them, including the Zimbabweans. They're like, no, we got to go to South Africa. No. So but I mean, and intuitively you knew that, right?
Yeah.
And it makes sense. But to me, it's part of nation branding. Part of nation branding is ask yourself the question, what do you contribute to the national, to the African agenda? It's work towards that and all this. Very important, because if you believe in Zimbabwe, you'll buy Zimbabwean brands.
No, I actually agree with all that. But what good is it for us to come out as Zimbabweans and not contribute to that statistic?
Correct.
Yeah. Something, the fact that we are that kind of people, good, many of us out there, it's very good.
Mm.
But what's going to be read by the international community, it's this kind of scientific statistic. Why is it not showing in the scientific reading?
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
Cool.
I think also, I don't know whether people are noticing that we are very, in the official conversations, you know, anti-America, anti-UK. But look at where UK and America are in terms of being the most admired countries.
Oh, yeah? By the way, it's just what we say here. When we go back to our rooms, we want made in America, made in Britain, because we want to speak perfect English, and we want to be to have the American swag, and we want to buy something cheap from China. That's just how we are. Our words don't match our actions. Yeah. That's always been the problem with Africa. Our words don't match our actions. We complain. You know what? Well, what can I do? Let me just go buy it again. That's how we are. So the brand doing good for society and environment. Oh, sorry. Oh, now the brand itself. Econet again. Econet is seen as that, as a brand that is, that does good for the environment, for society, for all those. We know that. They enable your brother in England, in Joburg, in Germany, to bring money into the country so that the mama can go buy food, so that mama can build here with remittances. They enable you to move money around. That's doing good for society. Enable society to thrive, if you will. Yeah? I think I'm almost done. And then non-Zimbabwean, all mutual. I don't know what they do. They must have some big programs here. They have big programs here. And then non-profit. Then we look at the non-profit sector. The non-profit sector, WHO. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to it, because now they're gutting numbers and people and all those. But it is what the UN does is still phenomenal in terms of what they try, at least what they try to do. Otherwise, Ike will be jobless, folks. We must be thinking for Ike now. So we must support Ike now. So, US, you know, I went to the US, through USAID. And UNAIDS has helped to save. It's all UN. The power of the UN brand is incredible. When you land in Somalia, when you land in the different countries, and you see those planes, I'm worried about it when I see it, but I understand it. Because we are not fighting our own battles. So the UN is fighting our battles for us. Most admired brand contributing to a better. I think I've done. Sorry, I'm moving forward. I think I've done that. Econet, apologies. And then Zimbabwean MTN, a brand. We've spoken about that. And now to close, the most admired Zimbabwean brands. It's easy to guess. What is it?
Econet.
What did you say? Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, if it's not Econet, there's a problem. Nah, it's Econet. You know what people say to me all the time? They're like, yeah, but the same brands come up all the time. I say, because none of us are doing anything else. So that is actually the answer. The reason that it's always Dangote, always MTN, always Econet, always Safaricom is because all of us are doing nothing else. So, but I was explaining to somebody this morning, I was explaining that, the story is in the individual countries, not in the overall stuff.
Wonderful. First of all, bring people up to speed with why you started doing Brands Africa. Why did you start doing this?
So, matter of fact, it's actually, there's two stories to it. First, as I, in the beginning, I said, in 2010, when the World Cup was coming, I just started, one of the questions we asked ourselves, remember even at that forum, was what is the story of Africa that we're going to tell post the World Cup? Because it was a successful World Cup. But also the other important thing from a legacy perspective is, so what brands would have thrived under that? Now, remember at that time, there was only, I think MTN was the biggest sponsor. MTN was the biggest sponsor from Africa. Yeah. And so people are coming to our continent, but they were not consuming our brands. They're not consuming our brands, and they were not exposed to our brands. But also, having quit corporate, as you mentioned, as CMO for Nike for Africa, I'd quit corporate, and I was beginning to see that most of the brands that I'm seeing are non-African. And even I myself wanted to consult to non-African brands because they're more prestigious. But then I started having a conscientious awakening and said, but if we are doing more and more non-African, what is the future of the continent? Mm. But I wanted also to have the study because I wanted to have a scientific metric. I didn't want to make this that's what I think. Because, you know, if you can't argue it, you can't argue with facts.
No.
But emotions are very easy and they go nowhere.
Mm.
So I wanted the baseline to be able to have a conversation.
Well, what's been the most surprising thing that you've surfaced over the years doing Africa's best brands?
Well, to me, the story is in the different countries. The story is in the countries that when you look at, the first thing is we haven't built enough Pan-African brands. To me, I think that's obvious. We haven't done that. But having said so, much more pleased when I see, in Botswana, for example, then you get a brand like Olkasi, which is the number one brand in Botswana. But the problem with that is the number one athlete from Africa is, from Botswana. The 200 meter Tebogo, right? Tebogo Letsie or someone. He's the Olympic champion and all those superstar. But he wears what? Nike or Adidas. So I said to them when I was there, I said, the problem that I'm seeing in the continent is a lack of even investment by our countries, our governments into building great African brands. So I said, if your number one brand in your country is Olkasi, which is a local sport brand, your number one athlete in the country is worth Nike or Adidas. I said, will it not make sense to ask him how much is Nike paying you? And if he says $1 million, you say, for the sake of building an industry, for the sake of building pride in our country, we'll give you the $1 million. You wear this because that'll be the beginning, a catalyst for growth. So, but then you see in South Africa, the number one brand is not the ones you see. It's not MTN, Standard Bank, FNB, APSA, none of those. The number one brand is what started 10, 15 years ago, which is Galax Boy. And last year it was Batu, which started 15.
Wow.
And I love that because it says to me, there's an entrepreneurial spirit that's bubbling. It just needs to be fed.
Absolutely. Have you found the talk about Pan-Africanism as you travel? Is there a link between that and the way we prefer brands at all? Is there a contradiction? Is there a contract? Is there a rupture there?
The challenge with our continent has been that we speak more than we do. We write better English and we roll up fewer sleeves. So now in 2018 in Rwanda, there was an agreement to ratify the AFCFTA, Africa Free Trade Continental Area. The purpose of it was to open up the borders to enable brands to move through the borders. Because what that would have done is, in many ways, if we don't build great African brands, the brands that will continue to move easy will be non-African brand. So the story about Pan-Africanism and all those will fall for flat if we don't do what the Chinese have done, which is what the Chinese have done so brilliantly. And Donald Trump is doing now for the United States of America. He's like, let me put my country first. So we need to put Africa first. The Chinese, what did they do? They closed the borders. And when somebody wanted to bring in Amazon and bring in Uber and all those, they're like, wait, can you just give us a little moment? We just want to set up a little Alibaba somewhere.
Yeah.
And then when Alibaba was all set up and strong and entrenched, and they had their own WhatsApps and all those things, they then said, we are open for business. Please, if you want to compete, you can come in.
Yeah.
They arrived and they found. The problem with us with Pan-Africanism is African Ubuntu is a problem. Because we are terribly generous. We are terribly kind and welcoming. So what that does is, everybody else, you come to South Africa, for example, Emirates wants to land in Cape Town. Emirates wants to land in Durban. You says, of course you can land in Durban, but you've just killed the rules for SAA because your own domestic airline must dominate your thing,
yeah.
Which is what the Ethiopians are doing very well. Ethiopia doesn't mess around. Ethiopia is the number one airline, probably in the top 10 in the world now. There were over 150 fleet, biggest by far. In Ethiopia, if you are British Airways, you are Emirates and all those, they will give you a landing slot the way that the British do to us.
Mm.
You will land at 2 in the morning and you'll go park there behind the parking lot. And they will prioritize Ethiopians, which is what they do to us when you go to, Britain.
Right. Any questions from members of the public, Michael.
Thank you, Chief Thebe. I've given you a title now.
I'm a title. Thank you, Oga.
I'm so passionate about anything around rebranding, because we're also talking about rebranding agriculture for young people, right? Because I believe that brand is everything. Image is everything.
Yeah.
Seven Up will say, obey your thirst. Image is everything. Now, what do you think is the biggest factor, looking at Agenda 2063, the Africa we want? Because this cuts across not just Zimbabwe, and it's been quite challenging. We don't even do business together, right? So what do you think would be like the major thing to foster regional integration? And for example, Africa don't even have like, so we have CNN. And we have Al Jazeera, which is also like another copy of CNN anyway. So now, how do we tell the African story when we don't have an... Africa doesn't have a face, a brand, an image in the media. So how do we really have... Then how do you build a strong brand? That's one. Two, Nigeria spends $4 billion importing rice from China and Thailand. It was just recently they had to put measures in place to close the borders to ensure that we grow. Now, how do you... Is it... How do you... Is it because you're talking about Africans don't patronize African products, but people also were complaining that their rice has stones, so they prefer the foreign ones. So what do you think about that? How do you change the perspective?
Yeah, thank you. So Agenda 2063 has got three things. It's about an integrated, peaceful, and prosperous Africa. Now, what's interesting about the Agenda 2063, it is just a repackaging of 1963. So if you go to 1963 and you look at the 10 pillars of 1963, you're going to see that they talk about a common defense system, open borders, common financial services. They talk about all those things, which was just repackaged by us Africans, because you know what we do well as politicians. We just put it so fine to the future, hoping that all of you will be dead by the time you have to hold us accountable. So the challenge with 2063 is we need to hold the politicians accountable. So unless we hold them accountable, it's just going to be something that they keep kicking into the future. Because how do you go from 1963 to 2063? It's a whole 100 years. It took Singapore, 30 years. It took Rwanda 30 years to just, I mean, that's a microcosm, just a small country. So why do we need 100 years? Because they're going to add another 50 afterwards, just to move us into the future. Hopefully none of us will be around, to see that mess. So one of the things you mentioned is important is, we need to own our story. We don't own our story. And what the Arabs have learned, the Chinese have learned, the Russians have learned, is you need to take a hold of your story. But also when you take a rein of your story, you also need to control your own mouths, in terms of what goes in your stomachs, what goes out and what goes in. And we don't do that. We don't own that. And I said just prior now, is we are overly generous. And that generosity is very costly for us. So it's the one value that we pride ourselves in, that we're a very welcoming people. We're loving and we are embracing. But there's the one value we must get rid of. As soon as we become selfish, you'll see how much further we go. We should be selfish collectively, not selfish individually. If we become selfish collectively, we will be able to move this continent forward. Until then, we are going nowhere. Because even everybody understands us so well that they know that the way to go to the Africans is to divide them among themselves. Because we're easy to divide.
Because we stand for nothing.
We stand for nothing.
Yeah. Mr. Ndebele, LF, Kola Ndebele.
Yes, thank you, Trevor. Hi, Tebe, how are you?
Good, good.
I just wanted to initially disagree with you about, I think there's a business case for Ubuntu, right? Because my father always says to me something very contradictory, but he says the best way to be selfish is to take care of those around you. So I think the reason why we're struggling with having a pan-African brand per se is rooted in our inability as Black and African entrepreneurs to do like our business modeling and our business planning. I think we need to scale our businesses, not only for our own countries, right? But for the African continent itself. I find that with a lot of young entrepreneurs, especially in Zimbabwe, where the entrepreneurial culture is a bit insular and people are not thinking large and thinking at scale. I think we do, however, have shining lights like Chido here, who's thinking really outside of the box and thinking on a global scale. But the reason why maybe we're struggling to have a brand Africa per se is the fact that our thinking is rather insular. Our thinking is 1884 billion because we're thinking according to the borders that were set for us by other people that came here, not understanding the cultural nuances and the other ethnical issues that are at play. So do you think that there is a case for Ubuntu to be the vehicle through which we can actually have a persuasive and cohesive brand that is African, that can be pan-African and be profitable?
By the way, we're not disagreeing. We're actually agreeing. I like what your father said. Your father said the best way is to be selfish and take care of the people around you. So we're saying the same thing. I'm saying that we should be collectively selfish, but we should look after it. Then we must expand that Ubuntu among us first. Because we don't do Ubuntu among us. We do Ubuntu outside of us, if you will. So I think it's one of the defining, characteristics of who we are as Africans. So, but it's been detrimental.
Defining characteristics of who we are as Africans. You've traveled the continent. How hopeful are you that, this is a passing phase and, we will soon find ourselves?
Well, I think we're in an interesting space. The fact you mentioned in Chido now, saying that why should AI not be indigenized? So you begin to see those type of conversations, you've seen that we are influencing the world in music, whether it's Afrobeats or whether it's Mapiano, we're influencing the world in fashion. So as soon as we now see the world appreciating us, we shouldn't stand there as fans. We should now ask ourselves a question. How do we leverage that for economic emancipation? So instead, what we're doing now, we are standing out there and we're waiting for the applause. Oh, Africans, you're so nice. You dress well, you sing well, you dance well. Instead of saying, no, that comes at a fee now. It comes at a premium. So we should do that. I mean, the other thing that's interesting, so I want to say, yeah. I don't know if you follow what I do a bit, but on September 4-5 this past September 5, I launched something quite interesting or quite provocative. I completely redid the whole map of Africa with the Africa reunion. So go to you'll find it on my Twitter. I worked together with the professor of history, with the creative director, and reimagined and did a couple of things. We fixed what the Westerners did in 1884. We corrected the size of the map. Cause you know, they made the map look smaller and they put us at the bottom. So I flipped the map upside down and put us up on top and corrected the size. And it was quite a provocative idea at the art fair, which isn't just starting. So the idea is now going all over the world. At the African Union in November, putting forward that idea, but also putting forward the idea of Brand Africa at the African Union. Also putting forward the idea working with Moki Makura, also Nigerian Zimbabwean in a while. Yeah. And we're putting forward a new narrative for the continent. So we're trying to get the African Union to at least endorse three things. To say that let's get behind our borders and close the borders for African brands. Let us own the story of Africa. Let us correct how we are seen. Because you see, how you seen determines how you see yourself. How you present it determines how you see yourself. So we need to present ourselves instead of being presented.
Well, one thing as we close that you have done well is IP for African brands, sensitizing African brands that you own the IP, Kenyan coffee, Ethiopian coffee.
Correct.
Do you want to talk about
that's the other thing that I'm spending a lot of our time and energy on, is to help Africans to own their intellectual property. See, the thing is with us Africans, we come up with creativity has never been a problem. We are incredibly creative. The problem is that we don't own the creative. Because when it comes to IP, it's not who came up with it first, is who registered it first. So that's what I always say to entrepreneurs, when you think it, you register it. You'll deal with the details later. So that's why we've had so many fights, whether it's Ethiopian coffee against Starbucks, which ultimately they won, whether it is South Africa with rooibos against Europe, which ultimately they won, whether it's Zara, Macosa in South Africa, and multiple issues on IP. So to me, I think IP is also the other frontier. So one of the issues now with the AfCFTA, actually, is to deal with it's not just the borders, but also to do with the IP, because now the IP will be crossing borders. Because not only is the product crossing borders, so is intellectual property. Okay. Now we need to deal with how do we protect that. But I want to say one last thing.
Sure.
On Wednesday, I'm launching my new book, but that's not the point. I'm launching a 2.5 million rand, which I contributed to set up a PhD scholarship for Made in Africa brands. Wow. And I did that because I said to myself, well, I know the lay of the land. I know the problems. We've already identified the problems. We are not building Made in Africa brands fast enough. So I said, well, let me just put the money and the time. So I partnered with UJ, UNISA, and Vega, and they're matching my 2.5 to make it 5 million. And we've got a few other brands joining us now, to launch this first, ABLE fellowship, which is a fellowship for PhD. And YPN is only focused on branding and marketing. And why is it PhD? Because PhD is about new knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't want to spend money helping some kids go through high school to a degree, then they end up doing nothing else with it. So, but at least by the time you get to PhD, you are committed,
yeah,
and you are interested in driving a particular
knowledge. You're breaking new ground.
Yes.
Fantastic. Wow. Thank you so much, Tebe. I know, Mebu, Olga have had to move mountains to get you here.
I'm here.
You're here, and you're going to be here over the yes. over the evening, isn't it?
Correct.
And then you leave early in the morning. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Trevor. Thank you so much.
Thank you much.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.